Several weeks ago, the Lord, I say gave a word. I guess anything you hear from the Lord is a word or an insight. It's just in the charismatic community, we typically have a specific definition for a word. One of the things the Lord does with me is to see patterns and then put observations together and then see how He's moving by looking at patterns. And sometimes you have to look back to see the patterns because that's what it means. If you don't see it, look back and see it, or look forward a little while, then you don't see the patterns by the very definition. But anyway, several weeks ago, the Lord helped me to understand, or at a high level, what He's doing with His remnant, His bride, what He's doing with His church. And I've just been sitting on the Word and figured it might just be for me. And then Wednesday night I went to Northwest Christian Fellowship. And the day before, the Lord said, share part of this word. And so I shared it with them. And then we've been on the Father-Son series for a month now, for 4 weeks. But then I just felt yesterday, I just didn't have peace about doing that. We'll get back to it, but at least another couple of weeks. But then I just felt, so Lord, what do you want to do? When I get that I don't feel an anointing on something, okay, am I just to push through and keep doing it, or do you want to do something else? We do that in our own personal life. Sometimes you just got to keep pushing through and doing it. That's called faithfulness. But then He said, share more of the Word, or share the whole Word that you did Wednesday night. So there's a couple of people that were there. You know, a lot of this will be a repeat for you, but some of it won't because I didn't go into the full thing. And so this is, I guess, that's the realization of being part of a prophetic church is we hear God and we move, and we even do that in our church services as they did. They were sort of done, and I just felt led to, let's just keep speaking in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, and then the Lord gave them some more. That's a prophetic movement in the music. And so this is going to be a roller coaster ride, but it's going to be intense. But if you'll listen to it, I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. And it'll help set a direction for this whole year. And it's not just a teaching, but a prophetic thing. And so at least it has been for me, maybe not for you. From September 2023 to September 2024, that's from one Jewish year to the next Jewish year. You know, it was extremely intense in this place. And the Lord, on September the 15th, He gave us that word of, I want to change the very definition of worship in this generation if you'll be willing to count the cost and not go after convenience. And you count the cost as I've been counting the cost. And so that whole year, it was a tough year. I'm not big on Hebrew stuff, but I do see things the Lord gives me every once in a while in it. It's just never been a bent of mine, and it's valid. But so that was from one Jewish New Year to another. And I think the Lord, at least in my own life, in this church last few years, He moves that way more than January to January, which is the Gregorian calendar. That year, September 2024, was 5784 on the Hebrew calendar. You don't have to remember that number. But what that meaning is, numbers have meanings in Hebrew, which is different than English. Matter of fact, they don't even have numbers. Their numbers are represented by letters. But 5784 meant the year of the open door. And so the Lord started giving me a little bit more insight. He said, during that year, as He gave us an opportunity to move into something more, and it was going to cost us something, move into something more, He gave us an open door, but we didn't have to walk through it. And as I look back at other ministries I walk with, other businesses, this fits your business as we get into it, you'll see, walk through it. He's given us opportunities, and I think a lot of us can attest to this, for an open door to move from one room to another room. But when you cross a threshold in the spirit from one room to another room, the doors are just barely wide enough for you to get through it. You can't bring your suitcase and your moving van. You have to leave stuff in the old room because that, I'm talking about emotions, I'm not talking about a physical stuff, but emotions, dreams, visions, you have to leave them in the last room because that was stuff for that room. And so when we moved from September 23 to October 23, started that process, he is just wide enough to cross that threshold because he's bringing you into a new room that looks very different. That's why it was one of the most painful years out there, because we were being stripped. You remember back earlier in the year, I gave the furniture analogy that he was treating us as furniture. He was stripping us of the old varnish. I got that before I got this. Stripping us of the old varnish or the old wax or paint or whatever's on your piece of furniture, stripping it down bare so that he could reapply a new whatever you're putting on it, stain, paint, whatever, so that you can be redeployed. That's a very valid word, and it just fits in with this. And so, as I look back and talk to people the last few weeks I've gotten this, I started to realize many people were given opportunities for new things and actually started crossing over into that threshold in that year through last September. You know, I pointed at Chad, his business, my gosh, I've never seen a business so hard to get bought in my life. And it was just a hard year, wasn't it? But he crossed that threshold. We as a church are crossing the threshold. You've had things in your own life that you've been crossing the threshold. Now, this is what's important. The Lord also showed me. He said there's a bunch of people looked back in the old room and did like the Israelites and said, I want to go back to Egypt. And it's more than we realize. Because they did not want to be stripped down, and the new room scared them. It was a new paint job, bigger, smaller, higher, I don't know. Everybody's room is different. And he also told me, he said, and he even gave me some few examples in my mind, I'm not going to say them here. Some people are still stuck in the threshold trying to decide if they want to cross. Are y'all getting this? I'm talking at a metaphorical level here, an analogy level. But I really think here we've crossed over as a church. You wouldn't be here into the new room. And so that year, September 23 to October to September 24, was the year of the open door. Open doors are for us to walk through when God opens them. And so the good thing is tough in many ways. And we may still have some ramifications from that. But we walked through the door because we trust in the Lord. What is it in Psalms? I don't remember the passage going off the top of my head. Trust in the Lord and you will mount up like with wings like eagles. The new room, I'm here to tell you, has got some wings like eagles on it. So from September 24 to now, which is just a few months, 4 months, 5 months. The number is 5785 in the Hebrew, and it means open window. Windows are not meant for people to walk through. Windows are meant for wind to blow through. As we know from John 3:8, it says the wind comes and goes. We do not know where it comes from or where it goes, but it's implying the Holy Spirit. So those that are in the room that said, yes, how do you get in the room? You basically just say yes repeatedly. You stay in the last room typically because of arrogance or fear. Fear of the unknown or arrogance, I can do it better. But since we've passed through that and got into the room, you can start feeling the breeze of the Holy Spirit on you. So I believe that year, that first year was, here's the open door, And this year, His wind is blowing on us to occupy. I've been in the charismatic movement for 40 years. And we've always said to occupy and take the land. And it's one of those phrases that's part of the heritage of the charismatic church. But I don't think, there's always certain time. We can always walk in different things. But I think for His church this year, right now, for His Christians, I'm not saying necessarily relationship church. I do, but it's bigger than relationship church. It's us and our assignments. His wind is blowing to actually occupy and take ground like we've never done before, because we're in the right room and the Holy Spirit's blowing, which is going to make it a whole lot easier. It says in the Scriptures, first natural, then the spiritual. We see this in the natural. And this is exactly what I'm about to tell you, is exactly where we are as a church. Last November the 4th, or wherever it is, in the natural, I'm going to go switch to the because it's happening in the natural in the political realm. Trump was elected. He crossed over from the one room to the another. And he was inaugurated earlier this week. Now, he's done a lot in 1 week, but let's go back 1 week. He walked into the room, but he had not started occupying yet. Walking into the room is not enough. We start with a yes that gets us into the room where we're supposed to be. And then we start going, Father, what do I do to expand Your kingdom? And as that is happening with Trump this week, you remember in the 1991 war against Saddam Hussein in Iraq, they said we're going to, in the military, do a shock and awe campaign, and there was all these bombs and everything that happened so fast. We just got off of 5 days of political shock and awe. It's unbelievable. If he doesn't do anything else for the next year, he's radically redefined this direction we're going. The Lord, and we're going to pray at the end, the Lord is saying to His church now, it's time to do some shock and awe. It's time to ask Me for some very high-level executive orders. This is where the declarations are coming in that we're praying. It's time. It starts with intercession. And we have the permission to do the same. Now, whether you're Republican or conservative or not, just follow the example. The MAGA movement 1 year ago was an outcast. Now they're, you could call them a broadcast. The whole world is responding. Countries' entire political regimes are changing. From France to Germany to UK to Hungary to Italy. It's being broadcast. And I'm telling you, but this is a good thing. The Lord is wanting to use you. We all have individual assignments. The Lord is wanting to use you and us together. We've been an outcast. The remnant that believed in righteousness, peace, and joy has been an outcast. But it's going to change. I don't guess it's going to do it in 5 days. But we're going to see a change this next year, because the Holy Spirit's blowing on it, where some of the things we thought nobody would ever believe, they're going to start going, that doesn't sound so stupid after all. It is radically changing. What are we going to occupy? We're going to occupy, we've heard another thing we've heard for 40 years in the charismatic church, the transfer of wealth. I'm going to be blunt with you. It hasn't happened. It might have happened here or there, but not like what they've been prophesying. But I think the prophecies are true. I think we're truly going to start seeing it happen this year. And that transfer of wealth is not to get rich. It is to steward and be resources for wherever the Holy Spirit's moving that He needs it. He is raising us up in the scriptures, it's in the Revelation, it says, you are priests and kings. Kings have authority and they also have access to resources to carry out the authority that they have. I'm going to see that more and more. Are y'all following me or is this too vague? And so we're finally, I honestly believe, and I can say this because I've been in this movement for 40 years. I was 24 and I'm 64 now and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started going to churches where they raise their hands. It's not such a big deal now. Back then it was. That was a sign. We're going to start seeing occupying. And what He's going to start doing in you is Trump. I'm just using him as an example because he's in the news. This dude is very different than he was 8 years ago. One, he's humble. He's confident. And he's very bold. And he doesn't care what other people say because he's confident in his message. Those same four characteristics is going to happen to us. Is happening. I think you can feel it. We're getting more confident. We don't care what people think. I mean, this week, some of you might have seen this. The World Economic Forum, which is a demonic, globalist, one-world entity that until recently has had their way. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. There's 3,000. It's called the World Economic Forum. It was this past week in Davos, Switzerland. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And so he did like a 15-minute talk and then took like 15 minutes of questions by video. He just spoke to all the major CEOs around the world and prime ministers. He just blasted them to their face. There was no just... he didn't care what they thought. The guy, the CEO of Bank of America, he called them out. Have y'all seen that? And J.P. Morgan, he called them out and said, you've been debanking conservatives. This is wrong. On the biggest national stage in the world. Okay, so what's the point? Not to highlight Trump. And first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Now, everybody's assignment's different. But there's going to come a time, there's coming, it's here now. You're going to be a mouthpiece of confidence in your message and boldness of saying this is wrong or this is right. Because he did both. Drill, baby, drill. That's the right part. He did this is right, this is wrong, and there is coming a new confidence on each of us to speak what is on God's message. His is a MAGA, America First Made, but God's got Kingdom First message. And there's a strength in it, and the time is now. How many of y'all feel that? I'm not talking about being mean or a jerk, but it's authority. There's a difference. When he spoke as the President of the United States, there was an authority. It's like most of those people in that place is probably going to hate their guts. But you know what? You know who's going to win? Him. Because he has the authority. You know who's going to win with you, with the prodigals, as we prayed about earlier, and this and that. We walk in love. But the message of the kingdom of righteousness, justice, joy, peace, purity, you could go down the line. That is Jesus' message. And it is a whole lot better than the American First message. And it is going to happen. Now, will there be battles? Yes, there's already battles, lawsuits against what's Trump done. This is not like no battles. The kingdom of the demonic kingdom's not going to rest. But I'm telling you, we're trained, or he wouldn't have entered us into the room. And I think that's one reason it's taken a little while for us to get into the room, to know who we are and our identity and his sons. How this is going to play out, it's going to be very, let me switch to the church. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I know in the end, his kingdom wins. But we've been in a cold war, in the church for quite a few years now. Do you realize that 90%, there's 400,000 churches in America, roughly. 430, somewhere around. I mean, it's hard to count some of these. But somewhere around, that's a lot of churches. And America's a big place, 330 million people. Somewhere around 90% of pastors favor LGBTQ and all the other sexual perversion stuff. Did you hear what I just said? 90%. It's hard to believe because we're in our little bubbles. And we surround ourselves with people that think about us. 75% of pastors was against Roe versus Wade being overturned. Huge contingent here said no. I hate to bust your bubble. I'm not going to tell you who they are. There is huge contingent of churches here that preach how abortion is biblical in this city. Now, I'm not going down that route. I'm just telling you there's been a cold war going on for a long time. It started with the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, and went to the Methodist Church, and all down the line, major splits. Methodist churches came through a major split, and it's just trying to split. What is this? This is a cold war over which message are you going to follow, pastors? And it starts from the head. And it's happening in our community. Are you going to follow the kingdom first message? Or are you going to follow the people first woke message? And this is happening. But I'm starting to, and this is the metaphor in the Bible. Why did King Saul, for those of you that know this, why did King Saul lose his kingdom and it get passed to David? How did he disobey God? What did you say? He offered offerings that he shouldn't have. He got in a spiritual war he did not have authority was. But the reason he lost it is because he cared about what the people thought. The Lord, I'm telling you, this is tough. In the religious system in this city and across this country, there's a war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And it's going to be brutal. Just like it's going to be brutal in the political realm. You don't think there's going to be lots of crying and hysteria? You already see it with people. It's going to be in the church too. But this is what I'm going to say. If we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, we care about people, but we are not led by people. We're led by Jesus Christ in our own lives and in our own selves. And some of us even here may pay a high price for family with that. But we're going to be led by Him. And that kingdom first message, which is a whole nother sermon, is going to win, and that's how we occupy. Well, why do pastors do that? Because they're in the face of people more than they're in the face of Jesus. True. I can tell you, any pastor that believes what I just said, they have not encountered Jesus Christ in any consequential way. You need to follow a leader that has met the fire of Jesus, or you need to run. If you have friends that are in those kind of churches, tell them you need to leave. The stakes are too high. You need to follow a leader that has been so much in the face of Jesus and the conviction of what He's doing and what He's saying and what He reveals, that we wouldn't ever dare to pick people over Him. What has happened is the pastors are going to lose their kingdoms. They may be in that position for the rest of their lives, but the anointing and the presence of God is going to go to little David's. It's a tough word, isn't it? But it frees you. Because He's going to put David on the throne. Not in an arrogant way, but because David, this is an amazing thing. David was a scoundrel in many ways. I mean, his track record, he did some bad things. If you don't know it, go back. That'd be a good research lesson for him. But why did God continually say his and put his, why did he continually put his hand on him? Because he was quick to repent. He was quick to turn around. And we're all going to fall in this room some ways. Hopefully you don't fall like he did. And but we fall, you can still have, his heart can still be for you if your heart goes back to him in quick repentance. It is amazing. He loves to exalt people who have failed when they turn back to him fully. And he exalts them. And so anyway, so he is raising up House of Davids. You all right? John 21:17 says this. Let me say, so one ramification in the church is a Cold War. And it's been, this has been going on for a little while. I think we're at the tail end of it, and people have chosen sides. Most of the denominations have chosen a side. Hopefully, you know, some good, some bad. And we're going to see some occupying, some exaltation of those that said, we're going to stand with the kingdom first. So that's good. I think we're at the tail end of that. It's John 21:17 says this. A third time he asked him, this is Jesus talking to Peter or Simon, depending on your translation. A third time Jesus asked him, said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So let me give you another natural versus spiritual analogy. I've got type 2 diabetes that I pray over almost every day, trying to figure out how to manage because the numbers aren't going in the right direction. So several weeks ago, I said, well, let me try this. I tried it before. It didn't work. Let me go just, all I'm going to eat is meat and green vegetables. So started that several weeks ago. No bread, no carbs, no mashed potatoes, of course, no sugar. Finally, after several weeks of doing, I've been in ketosis for weeks. No weight loss. I wasn't even doing it for weight loss, but that'd be a nice benefit. My sugar numbers are finally starting to come down a little bit. And I'm like, this is one stubborn metabolic problem, okay? But that's good. So what's the analogy? How many of you have ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. The first 2 to 3 weeks were miserable. I had stopped sugar a long time ago. Just stopping mashed potatoes and bread, I was irritable. It was hard to have a... It just wasn't fun. It was like a withdrawal. I mean, I wasn't shaking or anything, but I get these cravings. If you've ever done this, and I realized, okay, this is how much dependent I was on this stuff. The doctor's shaking her head. She knows. Those cravings finally left. I still, when I walk by some places like that, I'm like, okay, that would really be nice. No, I've come too far. I ain't backpedaling. What does this have to do with anything? Jesus said, then feed my sheep. During this time, the Lord gave me this. I'm just going to read it instead of me paraphrasing it. People's spiritual taste buds in church. This is stuff I get. Most stuff you never hear, so be glad. People's spiritual taste buds are not geared towards meat and green vegetables. They like to spiritually eat, like we do in real life, spiritual carbs and spiritual sugar. This is why the church is spiritually fat and slow. Pastors would rather be a donut shop because people will come and get their dopamine hits and their sugar hits. But I want you to be a meat and three vegetables place. I didn't make this up. You can't make this stuff up. This just comes from the Holy Spirit. So what he was showing me, this Cold War, but as we fine-tune, he He says, I'm wanting my shepherds not to feed my sheep the equivalent of donuts. This is a major deal. And for those that stay and they start shifting their language, you remember Paul said, I can't teach you meat. I can't preach to you meat because all you're doing is milk. All you'll hear is milk. So as he starts working on us and working on us leaders to teach meat and vegetables, some people's going to leave the meat and three vegetables place. I mean, here we're, I think, going in the right direction. But and then they're going to go to the donut shop down the road because they're going to get irritable. It's not as much fun. I want a chocolate-covered, cream-filled donut. And they're going to call it God, and then the pastors are feeding them poison. Because in this occupied time, he's wanting us to mature, and we are. I feel good about where we're at. This isn't for us. This is just to help you give some of the patterns that, well, that the Lord's happening and what's going on. And the last thing he said, you're having to do this in the natural. I'm hoping my natural will speed up after he showed me the spiritual, but we'll see. He said, you're trying to correct your blood sugar, your blood. I'm trying to correct to bring the blood of Jesus into places they don't even hardly know what it is. The cross is going to be sinner coming forward. The sacrifices of Jesus and the suffering on the cross is going to come back into vogue. Because it's by that blood that he shed, goes from the very beginning when that first sacrifice, that animal was killed in the Garden of Eden, the life is in the blood. And believe me, as I've battled type 2 diabetes, I understand more, probably not all that I can, but I really understand that. And he's bringing his people into a maturity level as they get off of donuts. And we're feeding donuts as Pat. I'm talking to myself, my group, to people because it tastes good. And we're wanting to get our sugar high for the week. But he's changing that to make us healthy. The right blood levels, an understanding and eating the meats and three veggies and dark veggies and whatever. It will make us healthy, restore our spiritual blood, restore our, and give us strength to occupy. Donut eaters cannot take ground for very long. Let's stand. That was an intense prophetic word, but what did you say? Last time, this is terrible. Last time when I was at their place about a week and a half ago, I brought them 24 big cookies and cupcakes. I didn't eat any, so I wasn't a good influence. But I knew if I brought spinach and peas, nobody would want it. Yeah, he was going, I'm type 2 diabetes, what are you doing to me? I'm not saying you can't eat cupcakes. That's my personal thing that I'm going through. But take the spiritual lesson here. He is wanting us to mature because here's the big deal. We cannot occupy and hold it. This is the big thing going on with the MAGA movement right now. He's definitely going to change it for 4 years, but can he make it into a movement that goes into the next presidency? We don't want a MAGA moment. We want a MAGA movement. We don't want a kingdom moment. We want a kingdom movement. Now the difference is Jesus is leading that. No matter how good Trump is, Jesus is a whole lot better. And he's going to change that. But maturity is the key to occupy. Amen? And he's going to teach us. I mean, who was the guy? What was the guy's name in Israel that killed like 800 people protecting a bean field? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Oh, in the
Bible? Yeah, in the Bible. Yeah, yeah. I don't remember. It's one of David's mighty men. He was in a fight. Maybe it wasn't 800, but there's a bunch of Philistines wanting to come take his bean field. And he said, you ain't taking my bean field, and killed them all by himself. He's going to show us how to keep our bean fields in together, man. No matter what demonic hordes come, you're going to keep your equivalent of a bean field. So, Father, I thank you for each person here. I thank you that we're doing this together. This is just really a word giving them a big picture. It's not a corrective word or they wouldn't be here. And, Father, I thank you that you're going to allow us to occupy every one of us in this room in our own assignments that you've given us, in the Father's business that you have given us. Father, I thank you for maturity. I thank you for strength. And I thank you that you're going to do it in Jesus' name.